get into the teaching. But we do have prayer cards, and I'm going to be able to read this, but this is really hard for me to read, so I told Jason I can make that one out. But if you can use the white prayer card, we won't need an interpreter. And put those online, bbfohio@protonmail.com. And we printed up enough to last at least 6 months, and we're hoping that by then we're raptured.
Amen. What's wrong, Mark?
Print anymore. And they laughed him to scorn, is our Bible study today. In Luke 8, we'll start in verse 49. But first, let's get into a hymn, page 492 in your hymn book.
Martha, give it to Martha.
Page 492, Jesus loves even me.
Thank you, John.
And I just knew Nick was so upset that he wasn't able to sing part of that song with us that I repeated verse 3 so he could sing along. I'm nice like that. And every song should have 4 verses. Amen?
Amen.
This one has 4. We'll sing all 4. Glory!
Glory to His name. Glory to His name.
aren't these some good songs? Amen. More churches ought to sing these. Amen?
Amen.
All right, turn over just a couple of pages to 483. 483. Oh, how I love Jesus. And let's do a real Baptist thing as well. We'll have you stand.
If you can, only if you can.
Have you stand and sing. If you can.
If you can. No, we don't want to. Martha, you don't have to stand.
Huh?
No, you don't have to stand. I want you to get vertigo. Greg's not trying to pick
up. Oh! How I love Jesus.
The Son or the Holy Spirit in the song, that's when you know to sing amen. Say amen. Amen.
Well,
amen.
Well,
there's
going to be a whole lot of upset Baptists in heaven if God says, you know, you really shouldn't say amen.
Well, well, the Bible says it in it, sir.
If you're in the wrong covenant.
Yeah, you know, in your King James Bible, when you're reading verily, verily, that's what you're reading. Jesus is saying, Amen, Amen.
Amen.
And that's in the original Greek that only I can read. Toot, toot.
Toot, toot.
All right. Excuse me? Toot my horn, amen. Yeah, the Bible says not to do that, and I heard a preacher one time get up and say, well, there ain't nobody else going to toot my horn, I'll toot my own. Yeah. So the Bible says not to do that, but...
One house is going to toot, they just die.
Amen.
That's right.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Luke 8, verse 49, where we're going to be in our book. Good to have Brother Ezra with us this morning.
All right, my kids.
Hi, Glenn.
And
hi, Libby.
If you behave and pay attention, we'll let you look at him after the service. But first, our current events update. As you might see, I've given up on defeating the developers, and I've put the little sound thing in the corner.
Nice.
Because every time I close PowerPoint and I open it again, it's back. Even though I tell it to hide it, and I save it, and then I close it. So that's your first current events update. The second is, of course, we're just going to mention the election. And we wait to see if the courts rule on fraud. Amen. Now, the news media is lying to you and saying there's no fraud. Folks, the fact that they didn't allow observers.
Yep.
And what the lying liberals will tell you is we did have observers. Yes, you had them in certain places. The law says any place where there, anybody signed up by the Republican Party, you know, they had to sign up and I guess be certified or whatever, and those certified observers were blocked from watching them count the vote. That is fraud right there.
Amen.
And, you know, it's common sense. When I worked in a department store, we had to cash out our drawer and then make notes if there are any shortages and such, so that the next person would get a drawer that they then would count against what I did to make sure I did it right. And then that released me from anything that happened from that point on. And then that person then becomes responsible for that drawer that they put in the cash register.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, the Democrat Party right now is a bunch of lying thieves.
Amen. Yep.
And the American people on both sides, if you're a true American, should be calling them out on this.
Amen.
And then, of course, we have all the other things we talked about, the fraud with the software, Dominion software that's owned by a bunch of Trump haters. And if you can go on and look at the people who run it and look at their social media, that you know what you're dealing with.
Yep.
And then you go hammer and scorecard and all that. But 30 states in America, including every critical swing state in the November election, used Dominion voting systems. This coming week, that's going to be the major point. Even if your communists in the news networks don't tell you that. That is what's going on. Now, if they are somehow able to prove that these Trump haters who run Dominion, who did fix votes in communist countries for the dictators using that software,
yep.
If they didn't use it that way to get Biden in and they can prove it, fine. But until then, you need to know you're being lied to by your government and your news networks when they tell you that there's no fraud going on. And for real news, people ask me about it every week, so I'm going to give you a few names. Newsmax. The people on Newsmax will tell you the truth. We've watched them for weeks now. That the election has not been called on official basis, so they're not calling. They tell you the states that have been called based on the actual vote count, and they'll tell you the ones that are still outstanding. Newsmax, I think it's just newsmax.tv, or you can get the app on your phone. We watch it on Roku. It's free. Doesn't cost you anything. It's on some cable, and that might be on DirecTV. I'm not sure. What. I don't think it was on Dish when we had it. And another one is called OAN, One America News Network. Now, they do have a conservative lean to what they report, but I haven't seen them reporting lies and ignoring the reality. And so for years, we put up with the idea that our news media is supposed to be liberal. Think about how stupid that is.
Amen.
Our news media should be neutral.
Amen.
And I hate to disappoint some of you, but Walter Cronkite was not an example.
Exactly.
And Walter Cronkite said he tried to be neutral, but many times Cronkite used his politics, including during the Vietnam War. Whether you're against the war or not is not an issue. Go watch his reporting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He was against the war, and he did everything he could to steer the American people against that war.
Yep.
I might even agree with him on that. But I don't agree with him using his position as a newscaster to do it and then lie about it. And then they hold up Walter Cronkite like he's the ultimate example of news. He wasn't. And he also, once he retired, came out in full support of world government and the end of the sovereignty of the United States. He was given an award from the World Federalists. I think it was the guy named Anderson who ran as a Democrat for president, who was president of the World Federalists, gave him an amethyst and handed it to him after he was congratulated by via satellite by Hillary Clinton.
Wow.
You talk about birds of a feather. The rest of that says flocks together.
Yes.
Yes. Birds of a feather in that case will burn together. Go to bbfohio.com and you'll see at the top resources and you click on that and you'll see links. And then you just scroll down and you'll see news sources. And these are the first six you'll see. And there's more as you scroll down.
Hmm.
Anytime you want good news sources, go to bbfohio.com, resources and links. Then scroll. And you'll see them listed. I've got America's Voice, the Bongino Report, Breitbart, Daily Caller, Discern, and the Geller Report are all right there. Most of those are banned by the fascist liberals who own Twitter and Facebook and YouTube.
Wow.
You won't find the truth at Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. And I don't tell everybody what to do, but just keep in mind, every time you click on a Twitter or Facebook link, you are enriching people who are trying to destroy you. That's just the fact. Stay on there so you can keep in contact with grandma or your sister or whatever. That's between you and the Lord. But every time you're on Facebook and you click a link of Facebook or Twitter, you are then increasing ad revenue for the people who own that. And they are using that money to push abortion, gun control, socialism across the board. And if the United States of America would just have a big consciousness event among conservatives and say, we're not going to contribute to this anymore, it would end.
Amen.
But we're not there yet, evidently. Even the main conservative news sources, when you go to their pages, they show YouTube and then Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, which is also Facebook. They don't even show the alternatives in most of them. Some of them are starting to show Parler. It just doesn't make any sense to me, but that's just me. What you're not being told on mainstream news is that this COVID vaccine that even Donald Trump is promoting. I've told you before, I agree with Trump when I agree with him, but when I disagree, I'm going to tell you. And when he talks about this vaccine, what I say is, good. All the liberals should get it. That's my response.
Amen.
It is a DNA-based, RNA active and purely experimental vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
It is the first mass vaccine of its kind where it is going to get down to your DNA. It is going to use your RNA as like a messenger. And we don't even know the long-term effects of this.
Wow.
So if you choose to get the COVID vaccine, more power to you. I don't have it. I think I even said that in another stream, but it's a free country, and we're not anti-vaccine here.
Amen.
We are anti-mandatory vaccine.
Amen.
And we are anti-disinformation.
Amen.
We want you to know the truth so that if you choose to get a vaccine, you know what you're getting into. There has never been a mass vaccine, and I'm not even sure it's been largely used on any vaccine on human beings, that get down to the DNA level and use your RNA to then serve as a messenger, and then it alters, it's believed to actually alter the DNA.
Wow.
And if you take it, just understand this, you're voluntarily a guinea pig. Yeah.
I believe Trump said there were multiple platforms that this is on, so like there's one that is RNA based.
Well, we're getting to that.
Okay,
but
sorry.
The only one that's really being pushed to be used anytime soon is this one.
Okay, because yeah.
It's the one made by Pfizer. Coronavirus. What is an RNA vaccine and how does it work? And I'm not going to go into all the science of it because honestly, it's like if I wanted to talk about electricity, I'd have Charlie come up and talk to you about it, or if I wanted to talk about dentistry, or to have Brother Chuck come up, or if I wanted to talk about food, I'd have about half of you come up. But, I'm not an expert on DNA, but I'm also not an idiot. And I can read, I've watched and read more on this than most people that are in the news media. Your news media who are telling you what to do, I've studied this much more than most of them have. I've watched documentaries into the dozens of hours. I just finished a book on it. And it's deep scientific stuff. Yeah, it gets crazy, man. But that's the whole point is, you know, when you're talking about something that is so still unknown and they're just pushing it like it's handing you a piece of candy. This is from this article. The definition as stated by the Oxford Dictionary is that RNA acts as a messenger carrying instructions from DNA. So this is a basic bottom line explanation to how RNA functions. There's a whole, Georgia Purdom is a genetic engineer from the Ohio State University who works for Answers in Genesis. And she has lectures on this where she explains not only the basics of DNA and RNA and everything, but she also explains why it completely disproves the possibility of evolution. That's another subject for another day. A new type of vaccine, the COVID immunization, which has so far shown minimal side effects, is said to use a tiny part of the virus genetic code. You see, we're going where no man has gone before. The COVID-19 vaccine recipients are virtually being used as guinea pigs. That's the thing for you to remember. This will be the first RNA vaccine that could be approved for use in humans. It is said to use small fragments from the genetic code of COVID-19, which would start making the virus inside a human body. Let me repeat that. It is said to use small fragments from the genetic code of COVID-19, which would start making the virus inside a human body.
Wow.
First time. Experimental. We'll take it. You can sign up here. This would allow the immune system to recognize the virus as foreign. Theoretically. And can therefore attack it with antibodies. Will this work? It might. I'm going to be interested in watching those of you who choose to be guinea pigs to see if it does.
No, thank you.
That's my point.
Nehemiah's.
Huh?
You know what they're going to be doing? They're going to be forcing people in.
Huh?
They're going to force people in nursing homes and medical.
Well, right now, that's where they're pointing at what they call the, what's the word they use? The,
most at risk,
yeah, there's a word for it, but the vulnerable, yeah, those are most vulnerable, most at risk. That's who they're pointing this at, and there's even people saying, I want to take it, but I'm going to allow this to go to the people who really need it first, yeah, and that's what they're saying.
Well, Trump was saying that they're not going to give it to New York since New York's not going to use it. So if the person says they're not going to use it, maybe they won't force us to take it?
Well, that's the big question. In Ohio, our governor has said there will not be a mandatory vaccine, but in the socialist state of New York and the socialist Republic of California and places like that, I think they will try to make it mandatory.
Wow.
Yeah.
Basically, though, if somebody has already had the virus...
That's exactly... I think...
antibodies, right?
Yeah, I'll see if I... If you choose to get it, power to you. I have no plans nor desire to be jabbed with this RNA vaccine. That's what I'm telling you. But what I want to segue into what Jill just said, because there's no scientific basis for believing that most people who get COVID can get it again. There have been some cases where people claim to get it again. Guess what? They then are asymptomatic.
Right.
So it's like you got it, but you don't even know it. The only catch to that is whether or not at that time you're then a spreader. Well, we don't know that the vaccine will guard against that same thing, that it may keep you from getting it full blown, but you could still get it and be a spreader and no one will be the wiser. Yeah.
the tried and true way of making a vaccine is you take somebody who's got the disease, you take a little of it out of their body, you weaken it or kill it, and then you inject that.
That's the
fat. Has anybody said why the old tried and true method?
They have tried that and haven't been able to develop it. For whatever reasons, technically, I can't tell you, but they tried the old standard way. That's how the smallpox vaccine, if you ever watch the John Adams miniseries that I recommend, they actually show them they originally would cut you and then just smudge a little bit of that into you, and then you would get just enough of it. You'd actually, most people would even get sick, but it wouldn't be full-blown and it wouldn't kill very many people. It did kill some people. But that's the tried and true, as it says, for 200 and some years that they've been doing this. This is a total different ball game. That's the whole point. And I'm glad that you said that, because it makes it more clear what I'm trying to say. And what I'm trying to say is this is not your grandma's vaccine. This is a total new ball game. And you're putting yourself at serious risk. And to Jill's point, there's no evidence that if I have had it, and I have, and I have been cleared, I am done, that I can get it again. There's no real evidence, but even the small amount of claims out there, people who said they had it and got it again, they were asymptomatic at that point, which means it's of no consequence.
Right.
Unless, again, they're, and Rand Paul is convinced that if you have had it, and gotten it over, there's no reason to wear a mask. There's no reason for the vaccine.
Amen.
And I have a lot of trust in Rand Paul. He's not a typical politician. And so that's all I'm going to give you for that this morning. That's your current events update. That's enough information that hopefully you understand what's at stake here. And now, keep your eyes and ears peeled. Be careful of your sources and always check them out. Find out. If you see something on social media, don't just start sharing it. You got to look at it and find out if what they're saying is based in fact. And that's one of the reasons why we do this, is to keep you in tune with what's going on. So let's then segue again and now get into our Bible study, which, by the way, happens to be dealing with Jesus' healthcare initiative.
Amen.
Good topic.
And so let's jump into our Bible study with a word of prayer, and I ask Brother Charlie if you would open the study.
Dear Lord, thank you for allowing this person to come here safely today. I pray that you would just help us to have open ears and open hearts to the truth of your word. Pray that you would strengthen Greg as he tries to expound upon the scripture here, and pray that you would bless each person. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness, Lord.
Amen. Luke 8. We're going to start in verse 49 and finish the chapter, Lord willing. Would it be wonderful if I wasn't able to finish this because we got raptured?
That would be awesome. Amen. I'm okay with that.
Just going to give you a moment to get there. Luke chapter 8, verse 49. We're titling this, "And They Laughed Him to Scorn." Just one of several points we'll look at in this text. But for context, you remember that we were introduced to Jairus in our previous study, and then after Jairus comes along and the news of his 12-year-old daughter being sick unto death, the lady with the issue of blood for 12 years arrives on the scene, and we focused on that. So let's jump up for a minute and look at Luke 8, 41 and 42, and it says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet, and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him." And so then we jump up to our text in verse 49. And if you would read the even verses, so I'll read 49 and you jump in on 50. "While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house," coming from Jairus' house, "saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. That's the odd word there. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
So the woman with the issue of blood is healed, and now we have our focus back on Jairus, and as the text told you, one from his house came and said, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." Well, first thing I want to say is even if you have a loved one who has passed away, it's no trouble for you to go to the master. Amen?
Amen.
As a matter of fact, that's a wise move. And mention this, I don't think she'll mind. Sister Jessica's mother has passed away. And what did Jessica do? The first thing was let other believers know, because she treasured prayer.
Amen.
So we let folks know, and we could pray for her and support her. And in this time of COVID, at the time of this study, for those watching later on, COVID restrictions, we're not even sure they're going to have funeral services. And I was told if they do, it'll probably be about 10 or 12 people, that just family members, you know, and that sort of thing. But we do pray for them, and we will pray for you if you're in that situation. And you have to imagine that Jairus then is stunned. Think about this. And this might happen to you at some time. You've just gone to the Lord about this thing. You just prayed about it. And then you realize all hope is lost. That'd be stunning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're safe to expect that Jairus felt that way at this very moment. That he's probably even a bit excited. Got the adrenaline going. He's with Jesus. Jesus is heading toward his house. There's this short little interruption, and he takes care of the woman with the issue of blood. Now we're getting ready to head to the house. And then you have the messenger come and say she's dead. Well, verse 50 then says, "But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, 'Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole.'" So he, think of the emotional roller coaster Jairus is riding right now. From exciting and still worried but excited, Jesus is on the way to his interruption. Now she's dead. And then immediately Jesus says, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Up, down, up. How many have been there?
Yeah.
Yeah, John.
That's the selection, actually.
What? Well, yeah, there you go. There's an
example. It's like, and now they're fighting a legal battle, so that's a, yeah.
That's an example.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus is there for believers to assure us that he is in control. And yes, Johnny, even as this election unfolds. Even as the COVID thing unfolds. And all these things unfold. The worst thing for you to do is panic. You can be concerned.
Don't panic.
Go to prayer. Talk to others. Get the information so you can be informed. But through it all, you should be trusting the Lord who is in control. But there's a false idea here that we're seeing actually play out for the good, for our good right now. That is that when God's in control, everything appears to be in control. See? That's not the reality. When God is in control, he's in control, and we know he's in control all the time. Amen?
Amen.
But that doesn't mean that's what it appears to us.
Right.
You remember a few studies back, they were on the ship.
Yes.
There's a huge storm. The boat's flying around everywhere, and Jesus is somehow sleeping through that. He can sleep like my wife. She can sleep through just about anything sometimes.
But actually, she's a very light sleeper. That's why I have to be very quiet. I don't want to wake her up. But you have any known people like that that can sleep? Well, the babies sometimes, well, I said babies, Charlie, for example. And the babies can sleep through everything sometimes. And here he is on this ship sleeping through it, and they're freaking out. They're panicked. You know, at that moment, even though he was asleep, God was still in control. It didn't look like it, though. And that's the thing we have to fight. There have been times in my life where it looked like things were just totally out of hand. And I kept trying to convince myself to believe God is in control. I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes it'll be hard to believe. You'll even talk to yourself and tell yourself, God's in control. God's in control. And then you're thinking, what in the world is going on? God's in control. This is getting crazy. God's in control. And sometimes you even doubt it. God, are you in control? I believe. Help thou my unbelief.
Amen.
And I think that's what Jairus is probably going through here. Look at Hebrews 13. I want to read that. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. And verse 5 is quoted a lot, so some of you may be very familiar with it, might even have it memorized. Verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Isn't that a wonderful promise?
Amen.
What's the word there? I will what?
Never
leave thee, nor forsake thee. But let's keep reading there. Read verse 6 and read it with me. "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." That's a very important completion of that thought. It's not just words. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I think I'll just speak for myself. Those times where you got the hippo yawning. They get it, but three or four people out here get that hippo yawn. You know what I'm talking about, hippo? Or hunger hippo?
Oh, such a nice
yeah, topic. I had to fight it. It's contagious.
Worse than COVID?
But the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me, is what you will a lot of times say with hindsight. John, what did you say in Sunday school? Ignorance, the cure for ignorance is what?
2020 vision.
And hindsight is what?
2020.
And so with hindsight, a lot of us can boldly say. But how many of you said it while we were going through it?
Yeah.
See? And I'm not up here preaching at you. I'm human, and I'm right there with you. I can point at times in my life where I might have even said, people say, how are you doing? Good. Just trust in the Lord. And then I'd come under conviction. Because in reality, I wasn't. I was tortured by lack of trust. And I wasn't sure. I was scared. I was fearful. So what do you do? Well, it's just like anything else. It's really a choice. And what happens is the longer you live and you go through these things, you learn to just let it go and trust it. And now people get mad at me. I've had people get angry with me. Just crazy stuff's going on. They're like, why are you so calm? I'm like, I've just learned that freaking out doesn't help anything. And, you know, I'm just going to trust the Lord. And if, you know, that F5 tornado down the road hits our house and kills us all, well, I'm ready to go. Amen? So even in death, you lose somebody, but even in your death, at the point of your death, when your time comes, how many of you know it's appointed that a man wants to die? And at that moment, now's the time to build your relationship with the Lord and have faith so that when that time comes, you'll know He's there. Look over at John 11, just an amazing passage here. John 11, 25. Lazarus is dead. Martha has made a confession of faith in verse 24. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And I love, that's true, see? But in this case, unlike us, you know, when we pray and we're facing death, or a death of a loved one, and we know they're saved, we have that Martha understanding. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
It's a wonderful truth. But in this case, as will be the case during the millennial kingdom, by the way, Jesus is right there with them. And so he is able to then verbally tell them his will. In our case, we pray, thy will be done, and then we watch. We're not always sure how that's going to turn out. But in this case, verse 25, Jesus is right there. Read verse 25 and 26 with me what he says. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? There's the key question there. Believest thou this? Jesus is the resurrection and the life. A lot of people have gone to hell on their inability to believe that Jesus was God who raised himself from the dead. I don't believe in resurrection. It's scientifically impossible. I agree with that. It is scientifically impossible. But God.
But God, amen.
It's not scientific. It's supernatural because it's God. What's natural is what we as human beings are. We are bound by nature. We are bound by gravity. Anyone deny that? I want to see you jump and touch the ceiling right now. Ain't going to happen. We are bound by natural law. God is not bound by natural law. God is the law giver. God is the creator of those laws. And God can do whatever he wants to within or without that system. And in this case, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Those are verses that I've tried to keep in my memory. I urge you to keep them in your memory and meditate upon that fact. This is the basic truth of Christianity. Muhammad is dead.
Right.
Buddha is dead.
Amen.
All other religious founders are dead. Jesus is not dead.
Amen.
Jesus is alive.
Amen.
He resurrected, and he is the resurrection and the life. We think we're big stuff because, humanly speaking, mankind, because they're making a coronavirus vaccine that goes down to the DNA level and uses RNA as a messenger. I got a messenger better than that, the one who spoke everything into existence.
Mm-hmm. DNA.
So who's going to be able to call out your DNA on Resurrection Day?
God.
The maker of DNA.
Right.
He said, she shall be made whole in this life if it's his will. Well, he's told you his will. Now, the charlatans on TV and the Christian Science and the metaphysicists and a lot of New Age healers and people like that will tell you it doesn't have anything to do with God's will. It's whether or not you believe. And so your faith is now in your faith instead of having your faith in God. And today, if you want to be right with God and your understanding of what we're studying, your faith is to be in God and you trust his will. He may not heal you. He may not heal that loved one in this life. But if you and or that loved one is saved, then you can't lose.
Amen.
Because it's appointed unto men once to die. This might be the one you die with. But if you do, then you immediately are in his presence awaiting the resurrection of your body. Your body's not you. Your body is described in the Bible as like a tent. You will put off that body at the end of your life before the rapture. And you will immediately go to be with the Lord in a spiritual state. Your soul in your spirit in heaven. But then when you come back, go study 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18 and 1 Corinthians 15, beginning verse 52 through the end of the chapter. And you will see that your body will be brought up from the dead. And you will put it on in a glorified state in the air at the rapture.
Amen.
If you die before the rapture. And if you're alive at the rapture, then you will be glorified in your body. But those dead folks get that done first.
Amen.
In the twinkling of an eye. Doug?
You brought up a really good point one time about the DNA there. A person can get cremated or what have you. And when the rapture comes, you'll put all that back together again.
Yeah. Forensic scientists can go to a place where there's not a shred of evidence a human being has ever even been there. And yet they can find evidence of that human being on a DNA level, and it has markers, and they can tell who that person was.
Yeah.
You don't think that the maker of that man or that woman, who is a forensic scientist, who is able to do that, you don't think that the maker of that person can not only get a, not only know who the person was by the marker, but find all the DNA and all the markers and put it back together?
Exactly.
It's just whether or not you believe in God. If you believe in God, it's no problem believing He can do that.
That's a beautiful picture.
Amen. So regardless, it's true for all believers for all of eternity, that if you're broken, you're sick, or whatever, if you're not healed in this life, at some point, you will be made whole.
Amen.
Amen.
That's coming.
Amen.
So verse 51, it says, "And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden." This is just an important point on a practical level for you to understand that some matters are sensitive and require privacy.
Amen.
I urge not just folks here, but and if you go anywhere else, go to church, anybody out there who attends church, you have a pastor, you have elders in that church, and they are dealing with people, don't butt in. You may think they're being harsh, or you may think they're being too soft on people. It's none of your business. I'm just telling you the truth. I wouldn't, but if I came to your house and I heard some voices lifted, or the police showed up at your house or whatever, I'm not gonna commission. What's going on here? I demand to know. Your house, none of my business, unless I see something that is truly unbiblical, which would mean if I go over there and there's violence, and even then you call the police unless you absolutely have to. Get involved. There's just times where you have to allow for privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known a couple of cases where people went to someone's house and they heard their voice. One case in particular, I'll tell you. Somebody said, "Boy, I went over to their house and there's just a bunch of screaming and yelling going on and everything." I said, "When was this?" And they said, "Saturday." I said, "They were watching the football game." I mean, I asked them exactly what time. It was the football game. And they were going around telling everybody, "Boy, I went over there. I didn't knock on the door. I left." Then they got defensive because they realized they weren't invited. Maybe there was a reason. Obviously, you know. You don't know what's going on. But I've had that happen to me as a pastor. People butt in. They have no idea what's going on. And that's good that Jesus gives us this example where he says, "You know what, Peter, James, John, mom and dad, you come in with me. Everybody else, you just stay right here." And if they got their feelings hurt, the scripture doesn't tell us. But that's happened. People get their feelings hurt when they're, "I'm left out." No, it's just something that doesn't, necessarily involve you. Doesn't. I'll tell you this too. I don't have a real good place to go to talk to people here. And I appreciate the fact that most of the time when I'm involved with a conversation with somebody that's more personal, people recognize that and walk away. But let me just tell you, just so everybody knows, you need to be sensitive to that. If you walk up to somebody and there's a conversation going on, don't interrupt it. And if you hear that they're talking about something personal, Sometimes the body language will give it away. Just go find somebody else to talk to. That's not saying you never join in a conversation. If you realize they're talking about, you know, puppies and kittens or whatever, and it's not personal, that's fine. But this is just a practical lesson here. But I think the higher reason, the more important thing about Jesus and why he did this is because of skeptics. They seem to always show up when we're busy doing God's work. I've had that happen when I'm dealing with somebody, and it's not just somebody interrupting. It's somebody who interrupts who's not even right with God. They don't understand the scripture properly. They're not able to contribute. They actually make it worse. And so that might be why Jesus is telling everybody but Peter, James, John, and Mom and Dad to stay out. Because these people haven't been in the Bibletude of Jesus very long. They're just learning. They're still novices. And we'll see right up to the time of his crucifixion, he still isn't very well taught. I mean, they aren't very well taught. I put it this way. That's the wrong way to put it. They're very well taught. They don't understand what they're hearing. They come right up to the end. Jesus repeatedly says, I'm going to be crucified. And then when he is, they have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
What happened here? So at this point, very early in his ministry, he's probably leaving them out there as novices. And Peter, James, and John are kind of the inner circle of the 12. Not only the 12, they're the inner circle of the 12. So that's what's going on here. So verse 52, read that with me. And all, are you there? Luke 8, 52, read that with me. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleeping. So some of commentators have said, you know, this is probably where they pay people to mourn. And that might be. They do that in the Middle East. And then some people are just family and relatives, but they're kind of putting on. I mean, if they were just to be act naturally, they wouldn't be weeping and wailing. But you see that to this day in the Middle East. Someone dies and they go over there, oh, you know, and they're making all this. And her parents are among these people. They're the ones who probably hurt. I mean, probably. I think we're safe to say the parents are hurting worse than anybody.
Oh, yeah.
So he walks in and he says, weep not, she is not dead that sleepeth. How many of you know this is true? You're not dead until God says that you're dead.
Amen.
There are thousands of examples of people who have been pronounced dead by medical science. And then they're back. There have been people actually taken down to the downstairs freezer and in the corner room and put into the little boxes where they keep the bodies cool so they don't decay before they get to the funeral home. And then the workers hear someone screaming or yelling for help. And they pull the thing out and the person's actually alive.
Amen.
Now, I don't know if this is true or not. I've looked at it and some claim it is and some claim it isn't. But do you know they used to bury people and run a string up out of the grave onto a little thing with a bell.
Yeah.
So that if they woke up in their casket, they could ring the bell.
Yeah.
And people could come and dig them out.
Yeah.
There's stories. I don't know of any real instances where somebody did that. But that's not why they started embalming. The story is they started to embalm to basically protect that from happening. Embalming was a Civil War thing because it was so far, such a long distance. I mean, modern embalming. I'm not talking about Egypt, obviously. But modern embalming started really with the Civil War because they had to take the body so far that they had to do something or they'd be rotted by the time they got from, you know, down in Tennessee all the way back to New York or wherever they were taking the body. But they're... that claim, I've read enough to know that it's a true claim. It was a true idea. I don't know if it's based in reality, but they would bury people with a string up to a bell. So they could. That's an extreme case. But there are many cases of people who were declared dead, taken downstairs into the basement, and then they're alive again. And in this case, though, I believe when the person who came back and told Jesus that she is dead, they're basing that on medical science. I believe she was clinically dead. But Jesus is speaking from divine science, not medical science, which is sometimes faulty. God's version of science is without error.
Amen.
Never gets it wrong.
Amen.
And so we'll come back to this in a minute. Verse 53, how did they respond when he says, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." Read verse 53. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And folks, that's where we get in trouble when we think we know better than God. I got news for you. Any time the Bible says this, and your first word is, but. God's word says clearly this, and your response is, but. Now, we always have to come back to you to keep it in context. You have to be interpreting it clearly and accurately. But there are most places in the Bible, there's no question what's being said. When it says something's a sin, it's a sin. And when you respond by saying, but. One of the things we have a conversation about from time to time in modern society is that God says that when you're, and I, Ezra, this is not directed toward you. But when your child needs it, you spank that child. You don't spank it abusively. You don't spank it in error. And sometimes it's just a whop on the rear end to get their attention. It's not even a matter of inflicting pain. But the Bible is clear on that. And yet, even some of you know, even amongst people in my own family, they think they're smarter than God. There's a problem there. There are many Christians today who think that they're smarter than God when it comes to sexual morality. There are many Christians today who think they're smarter than God when it comes to things like we talked about Wednesday night, getting involved in events and organizations that are ecumenical. And the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together, and they'll do it anyway. And then you see them just go down further and further down that road of apostasy as a result. Over and over, the Bible clearly is telling us things, and then we can look out and we see people we know who think that they're smarter than God. And that's a real problem. And in this instance, can you imagine being one of those folks, especially with that 20/20 hindsight after the fact? When Jesus has walked in and said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. What a... Who's this crackpot? Crazy. Yeah. And that's what people are going to say about you if you take a stand on biblical truth and biblical morality today.
Yeah.
And they will laugh you to scorn. On social media, I have posted things that are biblically true, period. No debate. And the response from people who are self-proclaimed liberals are to emoji, laughing emojis, and motion gifts, whatever they call it, and have somebody laughing really hard or whatever.
Yeah.
Laughing me to scorn for simply making a statement that is basic Bible truth in a lot of cases. That's going to happen to you. It actually ought to be happening to you. If it's not happening to you, you're not out there enough. You're not putting yourself out there enough. Because if you do put yourself out there, you're going to find yourself in that situation. And we all must fight this tendency to knee-jerk reactions. In their defense, they may not be all that bad people. They're just knee-jerk. And that's how a lot of people, and we need to fight that. Be wise. Think. The hardest thing about pastoring is getting people to think. And there are people who even profess correct theology, but when you ask them to explain why they believe what they believe, they have no idea. And that is a dangerous position, because if you don't have a reason for what you believe, number one, it's not a biblical faith you have there, if it's whatever that idea, that doctrine is you're holding to. The Bible says to be ready always to give an answer. Amen. For the hope that is in you. Jude says we're supposed to contend for the faith. Well, how do you do that if you don't know anything about your faith? Mm-hmm. So we need to fight that tendency ourselves. We can look at these people and say, how terrible. They laughed Jesus to scorn. Heaven. all children who die before they're accountable go to age, called near-death experiences. There are some things that cannot be explained other than the fact that they were out of their body in a state of death. And that's what this Gary Habermas is going to talk about.
This woman has a, she's being operated on. She has a near-death experience. She's up above her body. She's looking down. She's watching herself. And sometimes they don't even know it's them because they identify with who's up by the ceiling. That's a point of consciousness. And on the top of this medical device that was in the room, you know, hospitals often rivet numbers like offices do to keep track of typewriters and to keep track of things. She looked down, and there was a 12-digit number riveted onto the top of this medical thing. And she said, I'm OCD. And so I memorized the 12-digit number.